Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Today we'd like to send a special thank you to the following restaurants for supporting No Goat Left Behind, Fet Sow, and St. Anselm. Show your support at these restaurants by ordering one of the menu items featuring goat. Goat is the most eaten protein in the entire world, yet in the US we import most of our goat. Our dairy farms are forced to kill some male goats at birth because there's no market for them. Help make a change. Support No Goat Left Behind.
Boys, I'm mellow as a honeydew. Yeah.
That cat is high. Look that look in his eye. Oh man, he's high. Yes, higher than a kite.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte. Today in the studio, I am so fucking happy to have Abigail Gullo here with me, the lovely Abigail Gullo.
Oh, Damon, thank
Welcome
you so
to
much.
The Speakeasy.
It's a pleasure to be here.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes.
The first time I met you, I was kind of like shocked at how nice of a person I had just met. such a sweetheart, such a lovely, lovely lady. And in the true New York City style of like your hardcore work ethics, you are like one of the most hardcore people I've met. When I first met you, you were working. I met you with Dave Catania.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were still working with Chairman's Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
He moved to Boston.
He did.
What
he
an
did.
Asshole.
He got me into this industry, actually. Between him and Linnell, they kind of both encouraged me to leave my other life as a school teacher behind and full time enter the world of this amazing industry that we're in.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that must have been helpful, beneficial, being a teacher and then moving into this hardcore, like multitasking lifestyle you've come into.
Absolutely.
Dealing with a bunch of students and keeping everything
I'm
in
just
line.
Working with children of a different age now. Or a lot of people ask me why I left teaching, and I say, well, the kids drove me to drink. What can I say?
Well, that makes sense. So not only are you working with Chairman's Reserve Rum,
mm-hmm.
Which is one of my favorite rums, and I feel like I have to be at least in the top three of like the biggest users and supporters of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're working with Bitter Truth, which mm-hmm. also a great product. They just launched a line. Well, not just, but semi-recently mm-hmm. launched a line of liqueurs.
Mm-hmm.
The EXR, which is a crowded liqueur.
Mm-hmm. You know, a pink gin they have. Elderflower liqueurs coming out. Yeah, they're very busy over there
crazy
on the other side of the
apricot,
pond.
Apricot, violet.
Yeah. Like,
Cool stuff. So you're doing that. You're bartending with a good friend of the show, St. John Frizzell, down at Fort Defiance.
Boss
which is
man. He's the best.
Great guy. And you just recently started at the Beagle, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you do it? How do you do all this? Do you have a personal assistant?
I spend my off hours usually laying in bed watching TV, so I think that gives me the energy to continue. No, I wish I was a little bit more active and healthy right now, but I am, doing a lot of things. I really enjoy everything I do. I enjoy everyone I work for, and it's an absolute pleasure to go in, and my customers are amazing too, and the people I deal with on either side of the bar is just fantastic. So I love going to work every day.
Excellent. I kind of feel like the best way to approach this show is to just break it down into segments. I mean, you want to talk about Chairman's Reserve a little bit?
Yeah, sure. These guys, again, I met them through Dave Catania. Two guys had a business plan in school, and one of them was from Barbados, and just thought that there was a lot of Caribbean rums that weren't getting enough attention, and went down to St. Lucia, which I have not been to yet. I'm still
you gotta
dying
make that
to go.
Change.
Yeah.
What's up, David Jones? Where you at? Send us both there.
Yeah, really. And then and brought this beautiful rum, and I think it just came at a perfect time because rums are being discovered and rums are being used in a lot of cocktails. I particularly enjoy using a lot of silver rum in cocktails. So I've been really enjoying working with their new products. The silver rum came out like 2 years ago, and then they have the spiced as well.
And the aged rum too.
Yeah, and the aged rum. That was the first thing they came out with was the peanut rum cream castries.
Oh yeah, the castries. Yeah, yeah, that's fun to play
which
with.
My mom still absolutely loves to put in milkshakes.
Oh yeah,
she. I don't think she realizes it's alcoholic. and then I actually met the boys from the Bitter Truth at my first Tales of the Cocktail, which Dave Catania again brought me to in 2009. And I was in the pool and mixing up. I used
at the Monteleone?
Yeah, at the Monteleone pool. And I was making my own cocktails with Luna Sueño tequila and the lemonade machine that they had at the pool.
Right.
And someone said, here, put some drops of this in. Just gave me this random bottle, as they do at Tales. And I put it in and I immediately recognized the taste. I said, this is celery bitters. I love this stuff. And he's like, well, the guy who makes it is right over there. So I swam across the pool with like the drink in my hand. And I was like, you, I love your bitters. And then, you know, it turns out we had a mutual friend in Linnell as well, because yeah. She was the first one to bring the bitters in. And I met Alex at the next Manhattan Cocktail Classic when they were in town. And they asked me to come on and be their rep here in the U.S. And I was extremely pleased because they're really, really nice guys. They're both so great. And they have like the same kind of passion that we all do in you know, the reason why I think I was never really a bartender was until the products came along to make it able for me to create the drinks that I've been reading about, you know, doing history studies.
And we're so lucky right now, you know, as bartenders, we're so lucky to have amazing products across the board. Mm-hmm. I mean, better rums, better tequilas, you know, better whiskeys, like more aged spirits, and even like better like clear spirits too, and then just a whole world of bitters, you know, it's like the bartender spice cabinet. So we've got all these great things to work with, I met the guys from Bitter Truth through Linnell as well. They came to town one time, and we had a little tasting with their bitters and stuff, and you know, celery bitters that. No one had even heard of that for like, you know, 100 years.
Yeah,
and you know, it's so much fun to play around with. And it's cool to see the way that it's changed from the immediate reaction of like, oh, what are we going to do with celery bitters? Well, Bloody Mary or like a tequila drink. But now it's in like sherry cocktails, you know, and that's just one of their products. And you've got like the Cherry Thomas bitters, which is huge. They did the Repeal bitters 3 years ago for the 75th anniversary of Repeal, which you know, I bought a few bottles of because I'm a collector.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, and it's so much fun to play with. I actually have a cocktail on my menu, my new menu, one with the Bitter Truth EXR, which we'll talk about in a second because we're enjoying that right now, and then another one with the Jerry Thomas bitters. So let's talk about the EXR. It's such a fun product, and the whole like the whole category of like Crowder liqueur, it spans, you know, it's like it's not all just like the typical like Jägermeister, you know, kill a pitch thing.
Oh no.
We've got like more in depth, like this one has so much like rosemary to me. It's crazy on the rosemary.
I get a little bit of mint, I get that rhubarb in it. I like to compare it to like the absolute best parts of Jägermeister and Fernet kind of mashed into one. You know, it's got really nice depth of flavor, and I treat it like a sweet vermouth sometimes, you know, or I treat it like a bitter sometimes, or it's a shot sometimes, you know, it's got a lot of versatility.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's yummy.
And that's the most important.
Yeah.
I'm doing a drink on my menu right now. It's actually called the Cocktail Without a Name, because I was just like, I can't put a name on this. it's like, anyway, it's gin and Bitter Truth EXR, Cookie Americano, and Bitterman's Spiced Cranberry Cream Citrate.
Oh yeah,
with lemon zest, and it's like so fall, you know, forward.
Yeah, this is my favorite time of year for cocktails.
Me too.
I'm such I'm the first cocktail I learned to make when I was 12 was a Manhattan from my grandpa. Yes. And I think whenever I like create a cocktail on the spot for a customer, it's always some sort of Manhattan variation.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, what is it? I'm like, yeah, it's a Manhattan variation. And I've run out of like boroughs and neighborhoods and names. So I'm at this point, Manhattan Variation number 33. I don't know.
Totally. At this point, it's like, we're going to start like name them after like towns in Jersey.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The Hoboken.
The Hoboken. Oh, dear. No.
You can't start out a name with hobo. Sorry, Jersey.
The Weehawken.
The Weehawken.
I've always liked that name.
The West Weehawken. Orange.
The West Orange.
I don't know if that one's going to make it on the menu next week. But yeah, so like, you've had this amazing, like, ever since you got into this industry, you've had this amazing career, at least for me as an, like someone, you know, observing it, mm-hmm. you know, like every, I see you everywhere.
I'm very lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like, I'm very social. I think it's like, it's back from the days when I was in theater and I, the best part of being in a production was the after parties. And so I do enjoy that social aspect of going out. And that's really when I started a cocktail blog in 2005, 2006 called Rye Girl, because I was so into rye whiskey, and there was just starting to be a new batch of rye whiskeys coming out, and I wanted to document that in my own experimentation at home, but also what I was seeing in the bars. I'm very blessed to have what I call a cocktail daddy. When I was a school teacher and making very little money and didn't know anyone in the industry, I had a good friend of mine from high school who was very into cocktails but didn't know where to go. And I said, well, I know the places. I'll take you. And he's like, great, you take me. I'll pay for the drinks. So this became like a weekly tradition, me and my cocktail daddy going out. I actually saw St. John and Aaron behind the bar at Pegu back when they were both working there. And you know, he's got a little branch and... Daddy-O's used to be my old watering hole back when it was the Universal Bar and Grill, and they specialized in Cosmos. So, nice. So I love going back to the old neighborhood and seeing how it's changed and the great places that are there now.
Nice.
Yeah, I knew Employees Only. It was Cafe Shasha when I lived down there. I used to go there for coffee.
So. Nice. Yeah, I just think it's a. It's like I said before, I think it's just such a cool thing that you're like, you know, especially for me being like an outsider from New York City, like mm-hmm. being a transplant from, you know, small town Oklahoma. It's like, it's, I didn't move here to like relax and chill out by the pool.
Mm-mm.
That's what the Hotel Monteleone is for.
Yes, indeed.
But I just think it's great to see like a lot of people in our industry, you know, and working in cocktail bars, working on the spirit side, just keeping themselves extremely busy. Mm-hmm. And but it's so much fun, you know. It's a lot of work, but it is a lot of fun.
It is,
and we work hard, but we, like you said, you know, we definitely play hard.
We play hard too. Yeah. No, I really like being in this business, and especially in this city, because it's, you know, my grandparents were Hell's Kitchen kids. My great grandfather was a bartender at the Waldorf Astoria.
Oh, wow.
And then he got demoted to waiter. I think he was a bit of a drinker. Go figure. So I like the, you know, the idea when this whole, I was the first grandchild to move back into the city. And I know my grandfather was really proud of me, and my grandmother is very proud of me for moving back into the city and being one of those really go-getter New York City types.
Just
again.
Just blowing it up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a fine tradition I'm upholding in my family, so.
I love it. Yeah. Well, cool. Well, let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And then when we get back, we're just going to have more great times with my good friend Abigail Golub.
Thank you, Damon. Thank you.
can't help loving that man of mine. Tell me he's lazy, tell me he's slow. Tell me I'm crazy, maybe I know. Can't help loving that man of mine. When he goes away, that's a rainy day. And when he comes back, that day is fine.
We are back.
Just as late as can be.
You're listening to the lovely voice of Abigail Gullo.
We have that in common too. You're a rock star.
No.
You are. You're a rock star, and I'm a wannabe rock star, but I like to sing too.
Oh my God, we should have planned a song.
I know. Next time we'll have to do a little, a little number, a little duet.
Of course you're going to come back to the show, so we'll do a number.
Yay!
About a month ago, I had Dale and Jill DeGroff on the show, and we actually played a few songs together.
But he's amazing. They're so amazing. I love them so much. They have also like epitomized to me like why I'm in this industry. When I look at people like that, I'm like, yeah, these people are amazing, and they're so much fun. I feel like this is one of the few industries where you actually get to choose who you work with. There are a lot of cocktail bars in New York City. There's only a few I feel like I could work at because I have a certain personality type, I have a certain way of doing things, and there's enough room in this industry for someone like me, and that makes me so happy.
Well, especially is like, as well as you've gotten into it, you know, it's like, you can pretty much just work wherever you want anyway. Anyone's going to hire you. But yeah, I mean, like, I think that is especially, you know, doing this show and getting to meet a lot of the bartenders and the personalities in the industry. It's like, I am just so happy to be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, I love just all the characters, you know. Mm-hmm. And like, speaking of like Jill DeGroff is like one of my favorite people.
Yeah,
in the world. Like,
indeed.
She just came out with her second book, and she's just such a lovely person.
Mm-hmm.
She's such a sweetheart. And you know, I like I said before, we've had, you know, the owner of the Fort Defiance,
Sinjin. Yeah.
You know, he's been on the show. Lovely guy. I met him when I was working at Linnell's because he was working across the street at the Good Fork.
Yeah.
And it's so cool that he's like kept it like legit Red Hook. You know, I love.
Oh, he is.
It's like, it's one of my favorite things about him. He's like, nah, fuck it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm here.
Red Hook is like its own country.
Yeah, it is.
They should occupy Wall Street. There should be an Occupy Red Hook. I think we do. We live in an Occupy Red Hook situation. I don't actually. I'm a Manhattan girl and I commute to Red Hook. But I think by now I'm an honorary Red Hooker. I really enjoy that neighborhood.
Yeah. And, you know, it's such a nice escape from the rest of the city too, because it's such a small, like, it's a small town.
Yeah, it is. It's a small town by the sea that just happens to be in the middle of New York City.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You got Sam Ross living down there too, putting around on his Vespa.
He makes me so nervous when he comes in. The first time he came in, I was like Jim Morrison mixing a drink. I had to turn my back and mix a drink in front of him because I was like, oh God, oh no, it's Sam Ross. He just ordered a Negroni. I don't know why I was freaking out.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know what? Okay, let's talk about that for a second. Not about Negronis, although I did go on that Negroni bar crawl the other night. And
oh, how was that?
It was pretty awesome. Except I just had so many Negronis. Too many. Competitions.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen you at a, like, you've been at so many goddamn competitions. Like, you're on Shaker Faces.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, again, you're all over the place.
I've been very lucky. I can't even explain it. My very first thing I did was online. I entered a contest with like Square One Organic Vodka and Chow.com, and I won the amateur portion. And this is like when I was still like, I was a school teacher, and I did like a muddled fig vodka, agave, you know, it had to be all organic, lemon.
Yeah.
It was very simple. It was a very beautiful, clean drink. And I was very proud of it. And I won. And they flew me to San Francisco. I met H. That's the first time I met H. He took me shopping in the farmer's market, and we had like a secret ingredient. And then I had to go head-to-head, 7 minutes to make two cocktails. And my competition was a man named Ronaldo, who's not only a professional bartender, but like a professional competitive bartender. So naturally, he kind of wiped the floor with me because I was like, what? Bar tools? I don't use jiggers. Like I always done everything by taste and by just playing with it at home. So, but I made a nice, I had a nice rapport with the, you know, I think I relied on my acting skills and my teaching skills, and I had a great rapport with the crowd. And I realized that, and I think that's helped me in a lot of competitions is that, you know, while I think I do make some pretty good drinks, I'm relaxed and comfortable. I go on auditions all the time, so it's like no big deal. Like I don't have a fear of failure. I'm just like, I'm out there having fun.
Yeah.
So that I think that's tended to make a difference.
Yeah, and
I'm very happy. I'm so pleased every time I get chosen for something. It's just and especially like that competition sent me to San Francisco. The USBG competition sent me to New Orleans for the last 2 years. Right now I'm going to Vegas for the Akintoshin switch. Awesome. And if I win that one, I get to go to London to work at 69 Colebrook Row. Oh,
with Tony?
I can't even tell you how excited I am by the prospect of that because I have, you know, I lived in Dublin for 2 years and around the turn of the last century. And I used to have my mom ship me whiskey-soaked cherries because there was no cocktail scene at all. And I had cocktail salons in my apartment making Manhattans for people who'd never had a mixed cocktail before. Just, I'm so inspired by what's going on across the pond always. Like, I used to fly to Glasgow on Ryanair for, like, a penny just so I could get a good cocktail and some nice Cuban rum.
Nice. Some Havana Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocking. Nice. Yeah, and, you know, that's, it makes perfect sense that you're, like, so successful in this industry now. I mean, like, and it's happened very quickly for you, you know,
it
too.
It has, and I'm not one of the young spring chickens coming in, so I'm very happy that it's happening quickly.
I want to talk about the going back to the stage fright, if you will.
Oh yes, yes.
It you know, as a bartender, especially like a cocktail, the classic cocktail kind of bartender, it's like being on stage and like knowing a recipe is only like about 3% of the whole job.
Absolutely.
And I love that we still get nervous in front of our peers.
We do.
Sam Ross rolls up to your bar and asks for a Negroni. You're like,
oh God.
Does it have rye in it? So it's great. And it's one of the reasons that I've always enjoyed being around you. You're very humble, but you're such a smart, talented, and just lovely person to sit and have a drink with.
Damon, you're so sweet. You know, I feel the same way about you.
Don't.
You're so much fun. So much fun. It's a pleasure going to your bar.
We need to just have another show to where we just compliment each other for 30 minutes.
No, you're fabulous.
No, you are.
No, you're fabulous.
Well, speaking of other shows, this table right here, mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of bartenders about this. We haven't talked about it in a while. Jack's laughing at me. This is table 42.
Ah.
So one of these days, we're finally going to get our show started called table 42. Where we bring everyone in
mm-hmm.
and we comment on people's dates.
Oh my God, I would love that.
You would be so good at it.
Oh my gosh, I know. We play that game at the bar all the time, looking at people and imagining what their conversations and what date they're on. And I have to bite my tongue so hard sometimes because I want to interject and help the date along, or else I want to kill it if I know it's going bad. I'm like,
yeah. Oh. There's nothing worse.
Cut your losses, man. Run.
Yeah. Nothing worse than seeing a couple crying at the table across from the bar.
Oh, that breaks my heart.
I'm just going to clean the bar. Mind my own business.
I know we're supposed to be good listeners, but I tend to be I'm a bartender who talks a lot, too.
Well, coming from the other side, you know.
That's right. I did come from the other. I started out as a customer before I was a bartender. So, yeah, I do. Sometimes I'll, like, interject in the conversations like I'm a friend. And sometimes they love it. And sometimes I get, like, the death stare. And I'm like, oops, sorry. Sorry, I didn't realize. I'm to be seen and not heard.
Right. Let's talk. We only have like a little bit more time left, mm-hmm. but You just started at the Beagle.
I did.
How's that going?
Oh my God, it's so much fun. I'm so excited. Now St. John is kind of like House of Fagu. You know, he was trained by Audrey, and that's where he came up, and so that's his style. And Dan is like House of Sasha. So I'm learning a whole new style of bartending, which was so exciting. The drinks are fantastic. A lot of them come from the Savoy cocktail book, which I'm a big fan of because Harry was trained by Ada Coleman.
That's true.
One of my idols, female bartender, first head bartender.
Way back
for,
in the day.
Yeah, first head bartender for the American bar at the Savoy Hotel. Yeah. So, and I'm working with Matthew is another gentleman I met like you, sitting on the other side of his bar, and just loved his cocktails and loved his personality. So when I saw he was opening up his own place, I said, I want in. And I've had so much fun working there, because not only is everything exquisite, the barware is beautiful, the bar is gorgeous, the drinks are gorgeous, the food is amazing. And that is another reason why I got into this industry. I come from a foodie background. I dated a chef for a long time. We were going to open up our own place together. And I was going to do the cocktails in front of house because that's where I saw a hole in the market here in New York, that there wasn't enough places with good food and good cocktails. And Fort Defiance and the Beagle, I think, are two, and then your place, Prime Eats, three of the best places in the city to get amazing food and amazing cocktails.
Oh,
and the chef, I have so much fun with that kitchen. They have Monday days off. So Sunday night, the night I work, tends to be the night we all go out and have a really good time. And we've ended up at WoHop. We've gone out to the sun comes up. We've all gotten matching tattoos.
Whoa.
One morning. So it's like, obviously, I'm really committed. My dad saw my tattoo the other day, and he's like, is that your bar? I'm like, yep, I'm really, really proud. I'm really happy to work there. So, yeah, this is kind of my fleur-de-lis is kind of like my Fort Defiance tattoo.
And
we have matching fleur-de-lis.
Yeah.
So now I have a Beagle tattoo as well. So,
nice.
And our chef, Garrett, has a tradition of getting a tattoo for every restaurant that he works at. So I believe that's going to be a new tradition for me as well.
This sounds great.
Yeah.
Awesome. I cannot tell you how much fun I've had on the show today.
Mm, it's been great.
I'm just glad that we just get chance to hang out.
Yeah, I'm honored to be here after your big win last night. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
I'm so proud of you. You are a star chef. You're really dedicated and fun, and you're everything that this industry is about.
I had way too much scotch last night.
Yes.
And, you know, Maxwell Britton, also past guest on the show for Maison Premier, helped me out so much. I couldn't have done it without him.
He's great.
And it was just nice to see everyone out last night. But thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Please come back to the show sometime.
Oh, I will.
Then you say you're at the Beagle on Sundays.
I'm at the Beagle on Sundays. I'm at Fort Defiance Mondays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And then other nights, I'm just gallivanting about town.
Excellent. Well, I will see you at the Beagle and at Fort Defiance.
I will see
you
soon.
We'll just also hang out all the other bits of the day.
Thank you, dear.
All right. Thanks for tuning into The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte. My guest today has been Abigail Gullo. Thanks, Jack, for laughing at me about Table 42. And we'll see you next week. Cheers.
Man, I wouldn't lie. The cat's higher than a kite. Now when you see him stumbling up and down the street, you know that cat's been drinking. Got no shoes upon his feet. Man, he's high. I said that cat is high. Yes, he's high. Man, he's higher than a kite.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.